The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem in the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes toward his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven, for their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in the same way." The Gospel of the Lord. In today's gospel, we get some of the Beatitudes. There's 8 Beatitudes. The blesseds are you. We often, when we hear about the Beatitudes, apply them to ourselves. If I was more of a peacemaker, if I was more pure of heart, if I was better at weeping and carrying my mourning, we often apply the Beatitudes to ourselves. And that leads to a lot of effort on our part to try to be like them. It's in some ways a spirituality of try harder. If we just try a little bit harder, we can reach this bar that Jesus has set. But really, that leaves us often frustrated, often disappointed, often tired and exhausted. And that's actually what leads to this series of woes. It's also what we get in our first reading. Cursed the man who trusts in human beings, who finds his strength in flesh. It's as if he is standing in a molten lava field. Because, brothers and sisters, the Beatitudes are not primarily about you, and they're not primarily about me. The Beatitudes that Jesus Christ gives are a self-portrait of who he is. He perfectly embodies all of them, perfectly lives them all. And he is most blessed because he is the Son of God. It gives us an image of who Jesus is, which seems so far beyond who we can be. Primarily, it's about him. Secondarily, though, it's about you and it's about me. The Beatitudes are who we will be when we live in and through Jesus Christ, when we ground our identity as sons and daughters of God the Father in the Son, in Jesus. One of the fathers said that God became man so that we might become like God. That's what it means to live the Beatitudes, that Jesus Christ's life is lived in us through grace and faith. It's not something we primarily achieve on our own. It's when we surrender ourselves in relationship, trusting that God loves us, that he will provide for us, that his plan for our life and who we are is greater than we could ever fathom or try to build for ourselves in the spirituality of do more-ism, which never works. It's to trust and surrender in love to a God who knows you, is deeply fascinated in you, and desires your good. And when you live in Christ and he lives in you, then you will be blessed. Not because of your doing, but because in living in love, you will become more like the one you love. And it will be much less effort. But to do that, we have to have great faith, great trust in the power of God. I heard one priest one time say that Christians have more faith in Tylenol than they do in the grace and power of God. And that's not that you shouldn't have faith in the medicine you take, but there is something to it. Do we trust in flesh, whether that's other people, whether that's the things of this world, whether that's ourselves? because sometimes cursed is the man who trusts in himself. It's as if he is standing in a lava field. It's to surrender in trust to the one who made us, the one who loves us, the one who never leaves us alone, but is always coming to raise us up back into the image and likeness that we were made in. So what does it mean to surrender in trust, and where do we pull back? What I would posit, and I've already hinted on it, that first reading, cursed is the man who trusts in humans, who puts his strength in the flesh. Woe are all of these people who, instead of trusting in God, turn in to provide for, to protect themselves. We do that through our sins. We do that through our disordered desires. And that's what I want to talk about today. If we are going to experience the Beatitudes, the blessedness of God, to become who he desires us to be, sons and daughters of God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord, then we have to surrender. And the root of every sin is a lack of love, and it's a lack of surrender. So what's a disordered desire? Disordered desire is whenever we turn inward on ourselves rather than trusting in God's grace and power. Disordered desire, sin. There's a Catholic psychologist, Dr. Bob Schutz, and he's got a book called Be Healed. And it's about the process of healing psychologically, but also spiritually, because we are one. We are embodied people, and grace builds on nature. So Dr. Bob Schutz says this: under every disordered desire, there is a holy desire. There is an unmet need. There is an unhealed wound. And there is a hidden pattern of sin. Brothers and sisters, our disordered desires, our sins, we choose them because they make sense to us. We choose them because they seem good. There's something in our hearts that is aching for completion in everything we choose, even our sins. Who chooses sins because they are obviously evil, obviously ugly, obviously self-centered? Very few people, unless they are severely evil and psychologically terribly disordered. We choose even our sins because there's something in us that says this will fulfill the desire, the longing of my heart. We choose our sins, our disordered desires, because in our hearts we have a holy desire. A desire for love, a desire for communion, to belong, to be accepted, to be safe. So many holy desires in our hearts that God put there and desires to fulfill. But why do our holy desires become disordered desires? It's often because in our life we feel that we have an unmet need. This desire I have that is good, that is human, that is beautiful, it's not being met. It's not being met in my job. Maybe it's not being met in my spouse. Maybe it's not being met in the relationships that matter the most to me. Maybe there's something in me that for some reason can't actually accept that this is enough. So there's an unmet need. And what do we do when we have an unmet need? There's a desire to fill it, which is that unholy, that disordered desire. But that often comes from, in our life, an unhealed wound. There is something that has happened to us. There is something someone has said about us, and we have internalized it, and we have given it a meaning in our life. People do terrible things to us in this life, but we are the ones who decide, did I deserve this? Is this true? We are the ones that give it meaning. And many of us live out of wounds. We live out of lies, and they are unhealed. That's part of the reason we struggle to have our needs, which come from holy desires, met. Because there's an unhealed wound in us that continues to fester. And what does that do? It leads to hidden patterns of sin, where we turn in on ourselves, self-reliance, self-protection, because we're living out of a wound and trying to meet an unmet need. And it's the longing of our heart is for that holy desire. So, brothers and sisters, the goal for all of us, what gets in the way of knowing that you are God's beloved son or daughter, living in Christ Jesus the Lord, surrendering yourself and actually experiencing blessedness in who he desires you to be? It's that same pattern. Under every disordered desire, there is a holy desire, an unmet need, an unhealed wound, and a hidden pattern of sin that's trying to compensate, but we can only compensate so long before suddenly it falls apart. That is not how God made his children to live. Brothers and sisters, we were made for more. And so for all of us, we are called to blessedness. We are called to what the Eastern Church Fathers call deification. Not that we become gods, but we become like God. That's his grace, his life in you, not just to be healed, but radically transformed, to be one of the freest, one of the most courageous people that the people in your life know. But what holds us back from that? Under every disordered desire, there is a holy desire, an unmet need, an unhealed wound in a hidden pattern of sin. For all of us to grow into our identity of God, the first step is always repentance, conversion, and healing. No one comes to faith without admitting, I am not who I should be, who I was made to be. And I'm dissatisfied with this, but I can't heal myself. I cannot save myself. I need the power and the grace of God. So, brothers and sisters, a place for all of us to begin, to go to prayer and ask God, think about what are my hidden patterns of sin? What are the sins that I often turn to? Why do they make sense to me? What is the wound or the lie or the unmet need they are coming out of? But more than that, what is the holy desire that is underneath your sins? Because there is a holy desire there that's coming out sideways because of those other things. But we are not depraved. We are not irredeemable. We are not unworthy of love. And you do not have to be perfect to be worthy of love. That's the beauty of our faith. But to invite Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, what is the holy desire that I'm seeking? Where is the need that's unmet? What is the wound that is unhealed? And what is my hidden pattern of sin? Because brothers and sisters, we were made to do more than limp through life. We were made to do more than try to compensate and worry that at some point it's going to show through. We were made for blessedness, to be transformed. God became like man so that man may become like God.